a moment ago, but if you're visiting this morning and this is your first time here, this is a very different Sunday morning from what they would normally look like. So when you walk away in 45 minutes, this is a rare moment for us as a church family. And normally we would have these conversations at an annual meeting or a meeting in the spring, and knowing that we would get about 25% of our people out to those meetings, we wanted to bring it into our time together and bring before you some pretty exciting things that God's doing right in our midst. So at our annual meeting about a month ago, we brought to you this very unique request that had been given to us as a church family from a new organization here in the city of Charlottetown called Blooming House. Blooming House has opened an emergency shelter for women in the city over on the Sherwood Road, and they've been up and going now for a little over a month. Pastor Dan and his wife Tavy works for them, and one of the founders is kind of sitting back to my left, your right, and was at our annual meeting in Montague back in early February. And Liz and Bryn spoke very, very clearly around what this is and what it isn't. And they have invited us as a church family to consider on our Stratford property over in Stratford to build a structure that would be housing for women that are in vulnerable places, that we might house them at a next to nothing rent, where we through time would walk with them through their ministries, that we would provide counsel and help and encouragement and support, so that through the course of time, that some of the ongoing besetting struggles of their life would be broken and removed so that they can be restored to life in all kinds of beautiful ways. So when that request came forward, that was pretty exciting for us, because those kinds of requests are rare. And more rare is when you find yourself in a place where you could actually do it. That is what I think really excites the elders board, and what is exciting the church across our three sites, is that we actually have the capacity to do something like this in a very profound way. So this past Wednesday, we went out to a variety of other organizations in the city, namely Open Door Ministry and the Crisis Pregnancy Center, and invited them to a meeting to say, is housing something that would be very real in your areas of ministry? And if so, would you want to be a part of this conversation with Blooming House, with us, in a kind of structure where it would house all three ministries in a yet-to-be-defined relationship, where we would be able to come alongside individuals and families and bless them through that kind of home, that kind of apartment? So our meeting, in short, on Wednesday is, yes, excited. They have gone back to their boards and their committees, and now they're working through the implications of this to say, do we want to get into a housing extension of our ministries? What does that look like in relationship with the other ministry organizations? What does that look like in relationship with who we are as a church family? So at kind of late March, early April, there'll be another meeting with all of the heads of those organizations with us as a church, kind of going to that next step to figure out what does it look like if we're all in this together under one roof for the glory of God to minister to, in many ways, the least of these in a spectacular way that we might see them set free in ways that they've never really known and experienced before. One of the growing realities in the city is just legitimate apartments that do not cost $7 million a month. And that's just true across the city. And we want to create a space potentially where we can help and walk alongside individuals with housing that's clean, that's safe, that's all those things, so that they can get some really great help and some great ministry be done for the glory of God. So that's just an update on Blooming House. We're super excited as to where that goes with them and these other organizations, and we'll have more for you mid-April, late April, once we have another conversation with them as we begin kind of putting some real pieces together on the table. So that's the first part of our morning this morning. Dan's going to lead us in a song, and then we'll come back to the other kind of more pointed to us conversation. As we kind of move into our next conversation together, this first part is really more of a kind of making you aware of kind of where we are. And in order to do that really well, I need to go back and tell a bit of a story as to how we got here and where we've come from. So if you're visiting, this will be interesting information to you. If you're one of our regulars and you don't know this, this will be hopefully quite exciting for you as a part of our church family. And we are, in a very real way, on the cusp of what in my lifetime has been one of the most exciting ministry opportunities that we could ever really find ourselves in. Back in the fall of 2007, if you looked across the children's ministry of Cornerstone Cornwall, you would have found seven children in the building. Robert and Isaac and Seth Shivery, which are now all kind of grown to be young men. Caleb and Alicia Walsh, that now have been grown to be young woman. My son Eden, who now is 13, or almost 13. And Allie Cullingworth, who is also now in grade 8. So those were the seven kids that we could name that were a part of our church in the fall of 2007. That fall was quite a fall. My job changed from a youth pastor to lead pastor. I remember the season that we were in that was filled with all kinds of wonder and also nervousness and anticipation and just like, how is this all going to work itself out kind of moment. I remember going over to Moncton and spending an afternoon with my dad at Steve's Finer Diner in Riverview, his favorite place. And I don't know why, Elvis is on the wall. Anyway, that's where we met for lunch. And I explained to my dad kind of where we were as a church family, some of the dynamics at play, some of the challenges that were before us, some of the space that we're trying to work through as a church family. And I remember sitting and kind of explaining it to him and wanting him to say, well, here's the four things that you need to do. Like A, and then that will lead to B, and that will lead to C, and that will lead to D, and then in a month's time, you know, you'll be fine. My dad did not do that at all. And at times, I'm like, that was a waste of a drive and all those things. But he looks at me and he says, well, just love your people well. And there's a part where I'm like, that's all? Like, I drove all the way over here. I prayed a bridge toll. And I'm going to buy your lunch. And you're going to tell me just love these people well. It's that moment when you throw an idea out there to someone and they're like, well, did you pray about it? And you're like, all right, you got me. Like, I didn't know that. Like, it's that kind of moment of frustration where dad's like, just love them well. And then what's followed with that is, and if you do, God might bring you more people to love and care for. I'm like, might? Like, I want to know how this works out guaranteed. He's like, love them well, and he might bring you more to love and care for. So, paid his bill. Begrudgingly, drove home and began to try to do that, believing that we had missed the mark and all of the other things. And when I stop and think about what God's done really since that time, it really is quite remarkable, particularly as it relates to our children's ministry, who he's brought, and the families that are here, and the lives that continue to come forth what feels like on a monthly basis in our midst. What started with seven children in the fall of 2007 has now ballooned to some 230 and 250 children from age 0 to grade 6. Like, that's not junior high school, young adults. That's just like the littlest of our group of children. And this is where this blows my mind. And it was so alarming to me that when I was writing it down this week, I like took a picture of my laptop screen and sent it to a group of people that I know pray for me and just are great encouragers to the church. And I'm like, read this. And they kind of like, that's ridiculous. That's amazing. That's exciting. And here's what I sent them through this text. Like, by God's grace, we could witness over the next 7 to 8 to 10 years 150 children or more come to know Christ, walk through the waters of baptism, and begin to learn early what it is to be a follower and live the rest of their lives for the glory of God. Like, when I think of the ability to legitimately say, we could witness 150 people be baptized because they've made decisions of faith and have started to follow Jesus Christ, that is remarkable. It is ridiculous to think that we are at this place as a church in a very real and pointed way. God has been up to something. God has been bringing people. God has been bringing forth new life. And what's remarkable, when you think of our children in that 230, 250, today, at least to my knowledge, there's at least 9 other people expecting. 9! To be born before June. And there's a storm coming tomorrow, which... it happens. God's been doing something. He's been bringing forth new life. And here and now, God has entrusted us as a church family to really get this right. He's entrusted us to love them well, to point them to Christ, to walk with them in their life, that they would come to know, see, recognize, and respond to the greatest invitation that they will ever respond to of becoming a follower and what that means throughout the duration of their life. This morning, there are 2 passages I want to throw up on the screen for you to read with me. This is the first one in Mark 10. People were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." We want to be a church family that does not hinder our children from coming to know the Lord. We want to be a church family that is doing all that we can to point, to encourage, to reveal, to speak to who Jesus is and what that means for their life. We want to be a community of faith that is encouraging this to unfold on an ongoing basis. And this next passage is from Deuteronomy 7. Impress them on your children. And for those of you who know your scriptures well, this is this great moment where Moses is speaking to the nation of Israel about the generation that's about to come after them and say, we have a job to do with our kids. We walk with them, and as they sit and as they lie down and as they do all of life, we want to impress upon them the goodness of God, the greatness of God, and who Christ is. And as a church family, we, in that same space, in that same vein, want to do that with the 230 plus 9 on the way and whoever else comes down the river. We want to be encouraging people in this way. We want to walk with our kids, that we encourage them to consider Christ, to highlight the greatness of who he is and the life that he offers and all that comes as being a follower, being a son, being a daughter of the King of Kings. This is what's before us as a church family. And we'll get into some of the nitty-gritty details of what that might mean for us in the next moment. But for now, Dana's going to lead us in this next song, and then we'll go into part 2 of this whole conversation. In front of you, on a chair or close to you, you should find a card that looks like this. We'll put it up on the screen so you can kind of see it. It's colorful, Cornerstone Kids, with some black, blue, and orange boxes. So if you would find a card and take hold of it and just kind of keep it in your hands or on your knee, I'll explain this in a minute. But before I do, I need you to tell you a little bit about my story. I grew up in a little church called Ormocto Baptist Church in Ormocto, New Brunswick, just outside of Fredericton, where CFB Gagetown is located. And when I think of my kindergarten and my elementary school years, I think about people like Mike and Diane Blackear. Most of you will not know this, and if you do, it's completely fluke. Mike and Diane Blackear, Jack and Jean Geldart, Rex and Thelma Haynes, Jerry and Jennifer McSheffrey, Marilyn Taylor, and the list can go on. And the thing that I like about these names is that they were not heroes. They were just regular people doing regular things. One was a photocopier salesman. One was kind of entry-level military conversation at CFB Gagetown, stay-at-home moms, stay-at-home dads, people who worked at Canadian Tire, Murray's Book Nook in Ormocto. All of these just regular people doing regular things. And the thing that I love about these regular people and why I remember them and why I can speak to them in a morning like this is that as a kid, they loved me, and I knew it. They took a distinct interest in my life. And it was always bizarre to me that at Christmas time, Marilyn Taylor would make me mittens. Like, Marilyn was not my gran. Marilyn was not my mom. Marilyn was just an old lady who sat at the same chair every Sunday morning and, for reasons that I now know, but at the time I did not know, took it upon herself to bless me when I was 8, 9, kind of that kid in Sunday school, if you will. All of these people were like that. And the thing that I remember most about all of them is that they prayed for me often And they told me that they prayed for me often. Now, I don't know if that's because I needed a lot of prayer, but I just know that they deliberately were praying for me. They deliberately were telling me, deliberately showing God's love to me in all kinds of spectacular ways. And what I've put before you in this commitment card, you take that, there are two sections we're going to highlight, the first blue and the first orange. So we'll go to that next slide. It kind of makes them a little bit bigger. And here's what we're looking for, because here's the ask that I'm inviting you to be a part of. I'm looking for, in the blue section, people who are seniors, empty nesters, like your family are a little bit older, your kids are kind of through that, like your kids are 20 and older, like they're not kids anymore, they're like young adults. Individuals, singles, young adults, who would say, I will become a Marilyn Taylor to the kids that are downstairs. I will become a Mike and Diane Blackear, a Jack and Jean Geldart. I will deliberately, pointedly pray for a family in a very real and spectacular way. I will celebrate spiritual milestones in their life. We will invest and have them in our home at least twice a year. We will connect with this family in a pointed, prayerful way, and we will do this for the next year. And then March 3rd of 2020, we'll do this same service then, and we'll ask for new prayer partners and new people to be involved in this conversation. So that's the first group of people where we're out of a love for God to see lives changed for the glory of God, to love kids as God loves us and them, that we would do this in a very pointed, deliberate way. The orange box. These are for families that are in the throes of raising kids right now, from zero, particularly zero to grade six. In the first service, some came to me and they're like, my kid's in junior high and we would like some prayer too. And I'm like, we can do that. So if your children are not quite within the window of what we've highlighted, but you would love to be prayed over in a pointed way, then you can fill in both the orange and the blue box. Because our family, we've got some kids that are a little bit older and some kids that are younger. So we are going to have a family that we're praying for, and we will want to be prayed for by an older family. So if that's your space, then check both boxes, and we will make that happen in this particular kind of commitment moment. But that orange section, if you have children 0 to 6, you're going to basically say, I want my family to be pointedly prayed for by another family over the next year. And how we'll do this is you'll fill in this card, check those boxes, put them in the basket as you leave the sanctuary. This week, Pastor Dan and myself, the other staff, we will take all the blue boxes and best we can marry them with orange boxes. And next week, give you a card that highlights who your family is and names so that that prayerful relationship can begin in very pointed, personal ways. And then in a year's time, we'll revisit the whole thing and make this an annual part of the conversation. Because here's what's growing on me all the time. This is not like a, we will sort this out and it will be solved by December kind of thing. This is like an 18-year gig that we have now with all of these kids that are coming through our ministry, through the community of faith that we have before us. So this is a lifelong, substantial moment that we want to respond to in some very, very pointed ways. So that is my hope, that you would be a family that can adopt, if you will, to use that language, another family to be praying for them, and that you would willingly say, I would love for my family to be prayed over in a very pointed way by another family for the glory of God as we are about this work together. So that's the first part of that card, and I would love for you to consider which one or both that is for you. And as we sing this next song, we'll come back and talk through this last part, because it gets really fun and personal here in a moment. There are mornings that when we get ready to do this that cause anxiety, that cause worry, that cause me to lose sleep. This is one of them for this moment right here, and you'll know it in a moment. When you grow from 7 to 230, there are very real realities connected to what that means. And to give you an example, a very simple example, the cost of this growth is sizable. We will spend more money this year on labels for your kids, than what we spent in the entire nursery budget 2 years ago. just to identify who belongs to who, just to keep everybody safe, just to do those things, we will spend more money on labels than we did in the entire nursery budget of 2 years ago. I grew up in a church world where everybody knew who my dad was, everybody knew who that one belonged to, everyone knew who they belonged to. That ship has sailed for us months ago. Like, I've given up trying to, like, hey, you have another one. I don't know their name. I've given up trying. I love names. I love to know people's names. And there's a moment where I'm like, I tap out. And we do this now for security. We do this for child protection purposes. We do this to make brand new families feel comfortable that at least we have the appearance of we know what we're doing, checking them in and ushering them downstairs and all those things, because these things matter in this day and age. The cost that goes from 7 to 230 is rather sizable. The second reality that comes with this is staffing help. Courtney, God bless her, and her husband Graham, who literally has been working as many hours as Courtney has been working for free since last March when she came on staff with us, she needs some help. We've got great volunteers. We've got great helpers in that way. But Courtney's 20 hours a week cannot keep pace with what are now just the basic needs connected to running Sunday morning and running it really, really well. When there is the phone calls that come in on a Saturday night of I'm sick or I have to be away or whatever from some of our key volunteers, that creates an anxiety for Sunday that's rather substantial. Or worse, someone wakes up and they're sick on Sunday morning and they can't make it and they let Courtney know she can't be in all of these places at the same time. I remember a day in my Sunday school class growing up, there was probably four or five of us that if my teacher was sick, the Sunday school superintendent, that phrase for those of you who grew up in that world, they were like, oh, well, today you'll just go over with this class. And Ms. McSheffrey will teach you. Well, we can't do that. Because when you then say, all right, you 25, you come into this room of 50 or 30. See ya. Like, that's not helpful for our volunteers, for our teachers, for to be effective downstairs with our kids. So Courtney needs some staffing help. And as we've worked this through, We want to surround her, that she can do this long term, to run at a pace that's healthy for her, to surround her with good people that love the Lord, because this is what I know to be true, and every one of you in this room, you know this to be true as well. The moment that you introduce a staffing relationship through I'm paid for a job, it changes the dynamic. It changes the level of engagement. It changes the level of I can't not be there, because this is my job. So we would love to bring some people around Courtney in a way that really would cause and help the whole thing to go to next steps, to flourish, to have longevity with our key people. And after what has been hours of work and responding to the survey that we ran with you back in February, where 90% of you said we should really look at some staffing options for our children's ministry, given what God has been doing, who he has been bringing, and what he has entrusted us with, we would love to do two things. One is short-term, immediate. One is one's a little bit longer-term, and I want to explain these two things here for you this morning. In the immediate short-term, Courtney, who is just committed into this ministry, when you see her, you should just thank her over and over and over again for the work and hours, the prayer, the heart she brings into the ministry that we have with our children downstairs. We'd love to come alongside her. And she said to us, I would actually go down in hours if it creates a space of flexibility for the elders to bring three people on in very small roles, 5 hours here, 8 hours here, and 10 hours here, looking at our nursery, our preschool, and our elementary. Because all of those rooms now are between 40 and 70 children if they're all there at one time. It really is quite remarkable the amount of life that is unfolding underneath you right now. Two Sundays ago, Courtney sent me through the notes. She's like, there were 96 of us downstairs. Amy in the nursery, that day there would have been 40 total in our both services. And that's kind of a regular, reoccurring reality for us now. And that requires some extra muscle to come alongside Courtney in a very pointed way to move this thing along in some very real, spectacular ways. Now, if one of these small positions is of interest to you, email me and we will be in touch around, because we want to respond to this relatively quickly so that we can get some help for Courtney downstairs. And this goes to our Cornerstone Kids programming. This is our Supermix programming, the Summer Shine 4 to 9 programming, and all the work that goes with that. So that's the first thing that we would like to do in a very immediate way. And the second thing we'd like to do, and this is more long-term, which really began 2 years ago. Seeing this reality beginning to grow, we began to ask the question, which you then affirmed, we need to bring someone on staff in a full-time pastoral role that can bring some rhyme and reason for our ministry that deals with children 0 up to 25, or whatever the mystical young adult age is, which is like, I don't know what that age is. Because I think I'm that. And then a real young adult's like, no, you're not that. And then we argue and they lose and Elvis is. So the long term is this. 2 springs ago, there was a search committee put together of Lindsay Andrews, Wenzel McLeod, Tyrell and Sierra, Chantel McEwen, and a few others. And they went looking for a potential full-time staffer to come on staff with us. Hannah Bartlett was identified through an interview process to be this one. The trouble was that she was finishing her master's degree at Acadia Divinity College. She is in her second year as we speak. Hannah worked with us last summer, went to school. She'll be back with us this summer. She'll go back to school, and she graduates in the spring of 2020. The hope is that we would be voting on Hannah to become our pastor of next generations in May of 2020, that with this team of people that work with Courtney, that there would be this wonderful group that love the Lord deeply, that are committed to children's ministry, to steward these 200 and some odd lives for the next 15 to 18 years as they grow through life. And this is our hope. And here's the very pointed ask for you. In my 15 years of ministry, put it on the screen, this last blue category, I have never, ever, ever once asked you on a pointed way to give more into the ministry that we do together. I've never done it. I find it awkward. I find this moment awkward, as you might find it awkward, because it's just a weird space. Given all that is unfolding before us, this is my ask of you, that somewhere in your own treasure, in your own abilities, that you might contribute into this work in a very pointed way, given what God's doing among us. And there's 3 groups of people that I want to highlight. The first one is that some of you, I know already, you are in the sweet spot of your generosity. This is where God's brought you by faith, and you continue to give, and it's amazing, and we thank you for that. And just stay where you are and just keep doing what you're doing. There's others of us that we've never moved into this area of spiritual formation. We've never started to give our treasure away because we believe the lie that says, I'm the one that provides, and I don't trust God enough to provide. This is a moment for you, maybe, to begin this spiritual discipline of giving your treasure away for your heart's sake, but also for the ministry's sake that's before us. And then there's the other category of people, which would speak to people like me, where we've been giving for a while, and I'm asking you to potentially increase your gifts of treasure into the ministry. Now, some of you, I know, you're just like me. When you sit there on the receiving end of this, you're like, well, what's he doing? I want to know what the talking head is doing. I'm the talking head. I know that this conversation was coming in December, and I'll never ask you to do something that I'm not already doing. That's just awful leadership on every front. So in December, Amy and I began the conversation and said, we will increase our gifts, which we have. And here's what I've come to discover again after 18 years of doing this as our married life together. God continues to provide. All of our needs are met. There's a newfound freedom in all of these kinds of things. I'm inviting you into this for all kinds of great reasons. It's a need. It's an opportunity. It's part of my own life in Christ, your own life in Christ. And not only do I think this ministry is worth all of these things as it relates to treasure, I also, in my life, in my time, I try not to actually officially work Thursday mornings from 9:45 to 11:30. I take those 2 hours off so I can volunteer into the mom's group ministry. I love that 2 hours. I love spending that 2 hours with Gail, with all the other leaders downstairs, working with those kids in that space. I know them all by name. I think they're hilarious. Their personalities are spectacular. I love the fact that we get to walk with them in this way. I love the fact that on Sunday when they walk in, they know who I am, and they speak to me like we're like BFFs. It's awesome. I'm like, hey, Phil. I'm like, that's right. Like, you know my name, and I know your name. And I love the fact that as they grow, they will be comfortable with the guy who talks every morning from the platform. I look forward to the morning when Jeremiah arrives and he looks for me, and Malachi looks for me, and Josh and Lindsay's girl, I lose their names, I know their names, but she walks up and she like looks at me, and I'm like, yes, like I love this ministry. It's profound, it's important, it's personal, and all of these things that we're pushing for together for the glory of God. So as you think through this commitment card that's in front of you, here is my request. I would love for you to consider prayerfully supporting a family. I would love for your family to volunteer itself to be prayed over. And I would love for you to consider how you might financially contribute into this ministry, because this is a real point of time for the glory of God in a way that we've never, ever done this before. We've never done this before. And that should say to you, this is a big deal, because this is not a weekly occurrence. It's not a monthly occurrence. This is a very rare occurrence, because it's very rare what God is doing before us in this moment in time. So we are going to sing another song. And while we sing this song, all of the kids from downstairs are going to come up. We left the nursery people where they are, because that would be chaos. But they're going to come up, and they're going to stand all in front of us. And we're going to sing together. We're going to pray over them and all of their work that they're doing together. And then we will have another song, and we'll finish up our time together. It is rare. And I want to say this again. It is rare that a church can look out and say, we could see 150, maybe 200 people make decisions of faith, follow Jesus Christ, and all that follows after that. We want to respond in a very serious, pointed way. Let's stand and sing. And Kerr probably represents about 70% of the preschool kids and elementary school kids. This is not our nursery. This is not the group that was here in the first service. God's been doing something substantial. He's been bringing forth new life. He's been bringing families, new, old, young, old, all of it. And he's entrusted us with a very real, special moment to respond in a way that we as a church family can point them to Christ through prayer, through their programming, through all kinds of wonderful things. And it requires a community of faith to raise a community of kids for the glory of God. We're going to pray together over these kids. Then we're going to sing Jesus Loves Me with them all together. And then they're going to head back downstairs because Courtney wants to make sure that they get their crafts and all the items that belong to them and make sure that it's not a madhouse after it's all done. So let's pray together for them, for the work, for this moment in time as a church family. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for life and what that means for a church family. I thank you for opportunities that you've given to us that we would respond to what you have entrusted us with. And this is one of those moments. When we think of the literally couple hundred kids that we work with, it is remarkable to think of this moment in time that you've brought us to respond well for your glory. That we as moms and dads can be prayed over well by others. That as individuals that are well past the child-rearing ages, we can engage in pointed prayers over families who, quite honestly, desperately need prayers. It's hard work. It's tireless work. And to know that someone's praying for, to know that someone is thinking of, that someone's blessing, is just remarkable. And I think of a young guy named Timothy in the scriptures where Paul just celebrates all of the women in his life that were a part of raising this young guy to become quite a voice for the kingdom of God. It is remarkable to think that we have lots of potential Timothys here before us. to go forward, to declare your good news for the gospel, to shape lives for your kingdom. God, we thank you for this moment. We thank you for these kids. We thank you for their families, the joy that it is to know them, to walk with them, to serve with them in all kinds of beautiful ways. God, we just pray your blessing upon them, for Courtney, for Graham, for all the volunteers, for all of the hours that go into just making Sunday work. Never mind the connections through the week and Shine and Supermix and youth ministry and all the things that go on here, trying to encourage, trying to point young lives for the glory of Christ to know and walk with him. God, we thank you for this morning. May you shape our lives for your glory. In your beautiful name we pray. Amen. Let's sing this last song together.